Good morning. I'm so thankful to be here this morning. If you would, grab your bulletins, go to the center page. There's a couple things that I want you to write down, take home with you to study and to think about as you go through this week. I hope that the things that we say and do this morning will be an encouragement to you. It will challenge you in your study and in your faith, that it will be a blessing throughout the week. It won't just be today and then forgotten, but it'll be something that you'll be able to hold on to and invest into your life. I want to invite you back next Sunday, the 15th, we've got a special opportunity that we are going to be taking advantage of. Many of you know Jim and Mary Rackley have been longtime members of this congregation, and just a few months ago, Mary passed away. We had to have her service in the midst of COVID and the quarantine, and it was difficult for us as a congregation to be together. Soon after that, Jim went to stay with his son in Arkansas and then eventually decided to move in with his daughter in Statesville. And we never really got a chance to love and appreciate Jim and to say that we will miss him and bless him in the next stage of his life. And so next Sunday, we are going to invite him to be a part of our first and second service and online, of course, and just give a moment of appreciation for that couple that just did so much for the kingdom, for our congregation, and for many different places throughout our area, and we want to say thank you to him and for his work. I want to invite you on Thursday evenings, ladies, to be a part of the ladies' Bible class that happens right in here or also on Zoom Thursday nights at 7. We've got a blood drive that's happening December 3rd, and so I encourage you to go online and sign up. This morning, I want to talk to you about something that I hope you will just take all of your fingers and point at yourself. I am just going to talk to me. And I hope the words that I say, the words, the scriptures that we share will challenge you to think about your own life and let this be a reflection. Let this be a moment of paying attention to where you currently are. I hope that the things that we say will bring us to a better understanding of really our true heart. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20, it says, "Death and destruction are never satisfied. Neither are human eyes." Death and destruction are never satisfied. Neither are human eyes. I want to challenge us to think about what we are focused on, what we are desiring more of. I believe that God has placed in our hearts this desire, an insatiable desire for more. And in our world, we can either focus to gain more of this world, more money, more power, more position, more influence, more pleasure, more rest, more, or we can notice that all good things come from our Heavenly Father, and we desire to know Him more. We desire to be with Him more. We desire to be like Him more. Scripture will tell us that it cannot be a little of this and a little bit of that. We sing that song, "Some of self and some of thee." That's incorrect. It can only be this is what we are seeking after and desiring, or this is what we're seeking after and desiring. It is either more of this world or more of God. This morning I pray that our eyes will be really opened to the trueness of our heart, that we will see where we are leaning, what we are wanting, and what we are desiring. I pray that our true heart will say, "I want to know more of God." I know that we are coming together at a very unique time. And over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of conversations. There's been a lot of things on our TV screen that show the map of the United States. And there will be red states, and there will be blue states, and there will be these question mark states. But I want to remind us, it's not red state and blue state, but it's the red, white, and blue, that somehow our nation was built on this principle of influencing one another, to work with one another, the unity and the uniqueness that comes from the differences of perspective. Someone said recently, if the gospel doesn't cause frequent friction between you and your political party, you've probably embraced some form of political idolatry. I want to challenge us this morning to make sure that we're desiring more of God. and not these other things. This morning, I want to start off by saying to my fellow Democrats, congratulations on a hard-fought victory. A lady in the White House, one with ethnic diversity, is a unique and special honor at such a time as this. I pray to our Democratic believers that you will continue to rise up and be a voice of care for all people, that you will continue to speak out for godliness in the White House as ferociously as you have spoken, some of you have spoken over these past 4 years. My fellow Republicans, I want to say my condolences on what seems to be a bitter end to a long battle. I know this is not the ending that you were praying for, but I pray that our Republican believers will continue to speak for grace, calm spirits, and understanding across the aisles. I pray that as we make a transition within our country, that our positions don't change so much, that we flip-flop in our attitudes, that if they did it this way, then we can do it that way, and we share the ungodly portions of our political attributes. But I pray rather that we will stand up as believers of differing sides, and we will share in the great opportunities that are before us. This morning, I want us to look at our own heart, not to point fingers or to point across the aisle. As the old Michael Jackson song says, I want us to look at the man in the mirror. And I'm going to start with him, and I'm going to ask him for a change. Before I ask anybody else, I'm going to look at myself, and I am going to recognize that there's something in my heart. There's something in my attitude. There's something in my way of life that doesn't fully represent Christ. And I want to be changed so that I can be more like Him. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15 and 16, it says, the leech has two daughters. Give, give, they cry. And there are three things that are never satisfied, four that never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, land which is never satisfied with water and fire, which never says enough. In this world there are those that will cry, gimme, 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 as they take from others, as they destroy from others, as they overpower, as they hurt others. And in this world there are those who will cry, give me, as a request to the Heavenly Father, the one who gives all good gifts. In Scripture, we are reminded of these two differing points of view, that give me can be a perspective of the world, the demands of the world. And I want us to understand just a couple things that come from Scripture. Remember back in Luke chapter 15, where there was this father with two sons, and the younger son came to the father and he said, Father, would you give me my share of the inheritance? And he took the share and he left and squandered it in a far-off land. What about the young dancer in Matthew chapter 14? This young lady who dances before King Herod, she does such a great job of captivating his interest that he promises that he would give her so much of his kingdom. Ask whatever you want. And she says, I want you to give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Give me is the way the world demands so much. In Matthew chapter 26, Judas goes and he talks to the chief priests and the leaders, and he says, what will you give me if I deliver him, Jesus, over to you? And so they counted out 30 pieces of silver. Give me, give me, give me. But there's also an understanding in Scripture that give me is a request from the Lord. And there's several times where we see this principle being lived out. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon is confronted by an angel who invites him now to come work for the Lord, to be a leader, a commander of this army. And Gideon says, would you give me a sign so that I know what you're saying is true? In 2 Chronicles, in the opening chapter, Solomon, as he's getting ready for his new leadership position, as he's taking over where his father left off, Solomon says to God, God, give me wisdom so that I can lead your people. The phrase give me is not used when Jesus is in the garden, but Jesus prays, God, grant me this. If you would, take this request from me. Take this cup from me, Jesus says. And I want you to write down a couple verses, and I want you to go home, and I want you to look at these two passages in Psalms. Psalms 86 and Psalms 119. Because it talks so much about David's desire for God to give him these spiritual, these significant blessings in life. Psalms 86, verse 11, David says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Psalms 86, verse 17, David will continue on, give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. And then in 119, Psalms 119, David talks several times about what he asked specifically for God to give him. I want you to notice this. Psalms 119, starting in verse 73, it says, your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands, David says. Verse 125, I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. Verse 144, your statutes are always right, always righteous. Give me understanding that I may live. And then in 169, may my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. David has this insatiable desire to know more of God, to know more of God's word, to have that influence and affect his life. All of these other things he will let pass away, but he wants to know more of this. Give me, give me, give me. Where is your heart? Where is your focus this morning? So often the things of this world seem to sparkle and shine. But we are Christ's followers. And if we will represent what David represents, if we would give our request to the Lord, we would shine, as Paul says in Philippians, we would shine like stars in this dark world, because so many of our friends and family live in this behavior where it's give me, give me, give me, where it's my position over your position, where it's my money is greater than your money, where it's my will is greater than your will, and it's a win versus loss as opposed to God always is leading in a triumphal way. As Christ's followers, Jesus is our example, right? So I want you to go to John chapter 17 with me, and I want you to notice what Jesus thanks God for. Jesus is going to thank God for a couple of things here, and I want you to write them down, and I want you to compare them to what you are praying for, what you're thanking God for, what you're seeing God doing in your life. Jesus, in John chapter 17, talks about several things that really help us to understand that Jesus would praise God by acknowledging and accepting the work that was given to him, all these things that were given to him. Look, in John chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus says, I have brought you glory here on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. Jesus recognized that it is God who gave him a work, a specific purpose in life. Jesus thanks God for just that. Going on in verse 6, Jesus says that God gave him co-workers. Says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Jesus says, I thank you, God, for the gift of co-workers, co-laborers, those that are working with me in this purpose. Verse 8, Jesus says that he is going to give God thanks and praise for the message, for the words, for the teaching points in his life. In John chapter 17, verse 8 says, for I gave them the words you gave to me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I want us to pause for just a moment and reflect on what we are thankful for God, what we thank God for in our lives. Often it is a prayer request. It is healing and helping those that might be sick. That's a good thing. Oftentimes it's praying for the weather, and on a day like today, boy, I sure love the weather. Oftentimes it's for employment, for a new opportunity for us to get through a difficult economic situation. God, please help us in these situations. But notice what Jesus is praying for. God, thank you for the work, this greater purpose of my life. Thank you for this high calling in my life. Thank you for my co-workers. Thank you for those that share in this burden, this joy of bringing this message to the world. And thank you for these teaching points, that what we have to share is important. It's going to affect, influence, and make a difference in this world. God, thank you for these things. He'll go on to say in verse 11 and 12, he's going to be thankful for the power and the protection that God gives. Verse 11, it says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None of them have been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus says, I thank God for the protection, for the power that you have blessed me with. Oh, if we would rise up and express that with one another. And then in verse 22, it says, Jesus thanks God for the glory, this opportunity to reflect God in their lives. I've given them glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Brothers and sisters, I want us to notice with great purpose and value that God is at work in our world, and if we will use our words to reflect back to Him our appreciation, we will do the world good. This series is entitled, No Thank You, because oftentimes in our world we can use these phrases, this phrase, one of three ways. If you come to my house and you're looking for a meal, I may have this old bologna sandwich that someone forgot to put in the refrigerator. It's been sitting on the kitchen table for just a few hours, so it's nice and room temperature, and I offer it to you, and you might say, no, thank you. It would be a polite decline, right? Now, we might participate in a project. We might work together in something, and my efforts are somewhat a part of the success. But your efforts are significant in that success of that project. You come to me and you appreciate me for my little work, but I say, no, thank you, really thank you for all that you have done. And the third one would be this idea in which we live in a world where we give service, where we bless somebody, and we walk away and we are stunned to find out that there is no thank you ever given. I challenge us as believers to look at our hearts, to listen to our own mind and life, to see that we are reflecting Christ in our words and in our actions and in our thoughts. Or if we often fall into one of those categories in which we would say, no, thank you to God. I don't need what you're offering. Or even worse, we would just walk away without any appreciation. Jesus, God's own Son, recognizes it was the work, it was the co-workers, it was the message, it was the protection, it was the position, it was the power that God gave him. But oftentimes our prayers are so limited about the sick, of political hopes, the weather, the end of employment, or opportunities that might be in front of us, that we miss to thank Jesus, to thank God for what He is really doing in our lives. And so last but not least, I want to challenge us to give thanks to God. We must accomplish, not just verbalize, but accomplish His tasks and help His people. We are not to be just people of thought and good feelings, but we are to be actually active in the work that God has given to us. Imagine for just a moment a young parent or parents getting to take off for that first date in a long time when they get to leave their children home alone for the first time. Maybe some of you can remember that feeling, we don't need a babysitter anymore, and we are going to step out on this date, maybe, albeit a short date. But there's a list, there's an expectations of certain things that are supposed to be done. We need these dishes washed. We need this trash taken out. We need these chores accomplished. We want this sort of behavior while we are gone. And the parents walk back into the house, only to find none of those things have been accomplished. None of those things were done. Many parents have told me the frustration that they feel, the lack of love that's communicated back to them when those things were not accomplished. I want to challenge us as we think about our relationship to God, the work that He's given, the message that He's implanted in our hearts, and the things that we hold back. For our God is a great God, and He is worthy of praise. Starting today, I pray that our prayer is, God, give me more of You. Help me to know You more. Less of these things that are going to fade and drift away. Help our focus to be on the eternal. And as we employ ourselves, as we join in the work that God has given to us, prepared in advance for us, we will find the satisfaction, we will find the reward, we will find the joys of this life, and these things fade, and this thing rises in importance and significance and satisfaction in our lives. And I pray that as believers, with great diversity within this congregation, as believers, we will be united in this one everlasting cause for His great kingdom. Brothers and sisters, if you are discouraged, if you are worn out, if you're needing counsel and encouragement, I pray that you will come by the office this week. You'll pull one of our elders aside this morning, that you will avail yourself of the resources and the opportunities within this wonderful congregation. There are so many things that are going well within our world. Let us focus on what God has given to us. Let us be a light into our community. Let us be an encouragement to one another. Let us be a family as God has intended. I pray this morning that we will continue to seek after knowing God more. Let's stand together. Let's sing this song as a word of encouragement.
Lord, take my